The Good Shepherd. Let us read together parts of John 10, from verse 1 through verse 30. And Jesus spoke, "I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, because they do not trust the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but the Jewish leaders did not want to understand the things which he spoke to them. It's maybe a little difficult for you to understand because you have few sheep in Africa. Sheep and goats are both kept by herders in the Middle East. Goats are independent and unruly. A shepherd cannot guide them. But sheep feel helpless and want someone to take care of them. They are also afraid of the unknown, and therefore will only trust someone they know very well. That is why Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." That's a big difference. And the Bible talks about this at times. Believers in our Lord Jesus will want to follow him because he knows much better what is good for us than that we ourselves know. Goats are thought of as people who do not want to believe in our Lord Jesus and follow him. They want to go their own way. Questions to share. Can you remember when you were a goat wanting to go your own way? Do you sometimes still want to be a goat and do things your own way? Or do you now rather feel like a sheep and want to be safe with Jesus? Do you know what it means to know Jesus' voice? Do you feel safe when you hear his voice in your heart? And we read on. Then Jesus said to them again, "For sure, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers." But the sheep did not listen to them. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes not otherwise than to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." The people of Israel knew what Jesus was talking about. They had been shepherds since the days of Abraham and Moses. Today in the Middle East, the sheep are still often kept in an area with a fence around it of interwoven, hard, thorny branches, just as we have such fences here. There is one low, rounded opening to enter, and at nighttime, the shepherd will stand with spread legs in front of that opening and call then each sheep, one at a time, by its own name. and as it walks between his legs to enter, the shepherd checks the sheep's entire fur carefully for thorns that may have been collected during the day and removes them to prevent infection. Also, all kinds of plant seeds could create infections. This is a picture of Jesus removing things from us that may cause us to sin, and healing wounds in our spirit, in our hearts, making us holy so that we may not backslide into ungodly behavior. I am reminded of this picture given by God to Moses already, some 1400 years earlier, in Numbers 33, verse 51 and 56. God said, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and live in it, because I've given you the land to own." Then I skip a little. "If you do not drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall cause trouble for you in the land where you live." Israel had to remove those thorns, those people that had lived there and that could no longer stay where they were living. They had to do a good job of it, or they might fall into great sins. Now Jesus will do it in the life of each one of us as the shepherd removing the thorns and the seeds from the fur of the sheep, if we let him. And after the sheep are all safely inside, the shepherd finds that none is missing. He lies down in front of the opening so that robbers cannot come in. His body closes the opening like a door. Questions to discuss. Who do you think would be a thief and a robber? Satan? Can man also be thieves and robbers of our souls? Does our shepherd, Jesus, want to lay down his life for us to protect us? Does our shepherd, Jesus, want to clean our hearts from sin? Sin that will ruin our lives? Would you be willing to give now an example from your own life? Do you think that Jesus will clean our hearts if we do not cooperate with him? And then Jesus continued again, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees away. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not firstly care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, Even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this flock. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, so that I may take it again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own will. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it back again. This command I have received from my Father. Questions to discuss. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Can you think of examples of hirelings? If a pastor loves money, will he take care of widows and orphans? If a pastor loves money, will he want to see his church become big? Will he teach the people then what God wants them to know? Or will he teach them what they like to hear? If a pastor has sex outside of marriage, he will teach that that is okay. Is that why Africa has so much HIV/AIDS? And is that not a form of killing and destroying? Is such a person really a pastor? Or is he just a wolf in sheep's clothes? What does it mean to be a wolf in sheep's clothes? Is such a pastor a fake? What does Jesus mean when he says that he has other sheep that are not part of this fold? Could he be thinking of us who are not part of Israel? Did you notice that no one can take Jesus' life from him, but that he chooses to lay it down for us? The Jews might have thought that they are the ones who caused him to get nailed to the cross. They did not even realize that Jesus let them do it. Oh, how he loves us. You know, love always gives. And here the next question. Is it not amazing that he chooses to obey his Father's will by allowing himself to be nailed to a cross? Do you realize that being nailed to a cross, hung on a tree, meant that he made himself to be cursed by God, cursed by his own Father, and that for you and me. Deuteronomy 21 says in verse 23, he who hangs on a cross, who hangs on a tree, is cursed by God. We read further now. Therefore there was a division, again, among the Jew, the Pharisees, I suppose it means, because he was saying these things, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you just do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they also bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. as I told you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Questions to discuss this for a little while. Does Jesus take care of things that can infect our spirits? What kind of things do you believe he takes care of for us? King David lived a little more than 1,000 years before Jesus came into the world. As a boy, he had been a shepherd himself, taking care of his father's sheep. As shepherd, he made songs and music on instruments, but he also learned how the sheep depended on him. And we read in the Old Testament from 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 33, when David as a shepherd boy is brought before King Saul. Because he is willing to fight the giant Goliath of the Philistine army, this giant was ridiculing and blaspheming God. And King Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are just a boy, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to the king, "Your servant keeps his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of my flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God." David also said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Questions to discuss. Did David think that he was very good and capable of killing a lion and a bear all on his own? Did he acknowledge that God delivered him from the lion and the bear? Would you already be able to trust God this much? Will it be easier to trust God as your faith becomes stronger? How will our faith increase? By seeking God with all our heart? Will our faith increase when we live in obedience? I wonder when David wrote one of my favorite psalms, was he still shepherding his father's sheep at that time? I'd like to read to you Psalm 23, a psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I like to close the lesson with Jesus as shepherd, speaking to us in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king will answer and say to them, For sure, as much as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And to the goats, the ones who don't want to be led, he said, Go away from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. End of the lesson.